Come on, somebody. Put your hands together. Way to go, Faith. Man, we are so blessed to have Faith on the team. All I have to do is say, honey, here's my scriptures, here's my idea, and she just takes it and runs with it and builds these videos that we get to see. So well done, Faith. Wave at us from the cockpit. There she is. She's back in the cockpit. Well, listen, I'm so excited to be here. Annette and I have had an amazing week. I'll tell you a little more about it in just a minute when we get to the Word. And we're going to continue this mini-series called Reborn, because what I realize is that we tend to assume things that because we all show up to church that we're all reborn. Born again. And so no assumptions will be made over the next few weeks. We're going to give everyone within the sound of our voice, within this building and beyond, across the world, actually, literally, through the internet, we're going to give you opportunity to step over the line, go all in, and as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So we're going to give you that opportunity. We had many hands go up last week, and people said, I'm ready to take that step. And so I believe that God is doing something across the world. Do you believe that? He's moving all over in amazing ways, and not just here in the United States, which we're seeing massive revival among young people, especially young men who are coming to Jesus. They want something substantial, and they're going after him. And we get to be a part of that. We want to continue to pour fuel on that fire. But listen, we're not going to leave anybody out. Everybody here gets an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you need to, as we used to work with Dyess Air Force Base, and we had a lot of Air Force people in our church in Abilene. Maybe you just need to re-up. They called it re-up. I'm going to re-up. I'm going to stay back in. I'm not going to retire yet. I'm going to re-up. And we went to many re-up ceremonies, which were amazing. But today, you may know Jesus, but maybe you've been a little bit ambivalent. Maybe you've gotten distracted. Maybe you've gotten tired. Maybe you've gotten discouraged. Well, today you're getting an opportunity to not only be reborn, if that's your need, but also to re-up and re-engage him. Amen? So a lot of re-words, as you noticed, and that's just a theme that we're on right now. Let me just take you down this path. Israel, we're going to pray for Israel. Psalm 122, verse 6. I'll invite you to go ahead and stand to your seats. Your feet. Stand to your seats. That's not even possible, is it? Well, God's a God of the impossible. No, I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. Israel, Psalm 122:6, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. We're also going to pray for America. And I want to just camp on this verse, Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can someone say amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, everything integrated, everything whole, brought together, complete, total, finished for them. We pray for the salvation of Israel and all the countries in the Middle East, Lord, as we are seeing revival breaking out all across Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, and in Israel. So many reports of people seeing the man in white showing up. Even as I prayed for a man yesterday at the gym who was obviously Muslim, and I walked by him and I just prayed, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to him. Show him the man in white. So Lord, I believe you're going to do that for that man, Father, and for others as we pray. Father, we do not hate Muslims, but we do disdain Islam. But we are going to pray for Muslims people, pray that they would come to know Jesus, pray they would be born again, pray they would be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and power, and turn and become missionaries in their own land and to their own people in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for our country. Holy Spirit, pour out buckets and buckets of your presence on us, your grace across this nation. We pray for our president, Donald J. Trump. We pray for grace over his life. We pray for a continual confirmation of your presence on him. Thank you that you're using him, as just as you did Cyrus of Persia and Nebuchadnezzar and Artaxerxes and other kings that maybe were there but not, maybe there but not with God, but yet you used them for the good of the people and the good of the nation. So we pray for our president, and we pray that his salvation will be secured. We pray for the cabinet, and thank you for those that are standing up like Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio, who are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the public square. Bless them. Bless what they put their hands to. And Father, we pray for the churches across our community right here in Fredericksburg. Father, would you pour out your presence, your Holy Spirit, and your grace upon them, and that every pulpit would burn with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that many in our city would be saved even this morning. And Father, we honor you in this. We thank you that Jesus, when he was asked how we should pray, he said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God's people said, Amen. Be seated and give your hands. Give, clap. What is up with this? Would you hand me that coffee down there, please, babe? I need more coffee, more caffeine. Put your hands together for Jesus. That was what I was trying to say. Thank you for your grace. We had an amazing week this week. We had an opportunity, for those of you who don't know, a couple of years ago, Annette and I were invited to be in a documentary. It's called Healing Humanity, The Proper Human Diet, and it's about the carnivore diet, which we've made no secret about that. And so we eat a lot of meat. I'm a beef guy. So beef, butter, bacon, and eggs, that's our steady diet. And so we were invited. The movie got made. They sent a film crew here to the bridge, and they flew a drone over the place. They got a lot of B-roll footage here, but they also put Annette and I up here, and then all the cameras and lights were back here, and they turned the lights down except for our cool Fredericksburg party lights and kept those on, and then they shot this interview with Annette and I, and we got to share some of the things that we understand from a biblical worldview. This is what was so amazing, because there's not a lot of Christians out there that are saying faith first, food second. You know what I mean? I mean, we're on team Jesus. Amen? That's who we are. And so we're that. So we're uncompromising. So when they did the movie and did the interviews, they actually, without asking us, said they billed us as Pastor Jimmy and Annette. So every event we've ever been to, we've been to meetups in Nashville, Tennessee. Where else did we go? Austin, yeah, we spoke at one there. So we go and we share because we're part of this movie. All the people that are part of the movie get invited to these things. And we go and they always introduce us as Pastor Jimmy and Annette. I mean, we don't care where we are. We are who we are. Amen? Our identity is secure in Christ, so we just don't apologize. I remember younger in ministry, I'd be on an airplane, you'd be sitting by somebody, they'd naturally at some point say, so what do you do for a living? I'd say, well, I'm a motivational speaker. You know, I mean, I was afraid to say pastor because I was afraid it would shut the conversation down. But as I've gotten older, I'm so thankful that I am who I am, who I am, who God called me to be, and I'm doing what he called me to do, and so I am not ashamed. And so when somebody asked me, I'd say, oh, Pastor, you know, what do you want to call it? Pastor Jimmy, how about that? You know, I mean, to anybody, I don't care who you are. And so, you know, we have to be ourselves when we're in any given environment, amen? So we're that way with this community, and it's amazing because this thing has gotten a lot of traction. They're doing these screenings all over America, these premieres, and it's not like a red carpet thing, but they do these things where they rent theaters all over the United States and Europe, and then they invite people to come, and you pay to go because it's the first, you know, it's the screening, it's the first premiere, and they do a VIP dinner, which we're a part of, and of course we ate a Brazilian steakhouse, hallelujah, that was worth the whole trip, I'll just tell you right now. But we went with the attitude, as we got in the car, we're going to drive to Austin, fly to Dallas, do a premiere there, then jump on a plane, fly back to Austin and do a premiere there, back to back. These are like from 5 p.m. to 11:30 at night. It's just nonstop. It's just a huge meetup, M-E-A-T, meetup. I mean, is everybody getting together and getting to know a bunch of amazing people that are on their health journey? So we go, we're excited. And Annette turns to me as we're driving to Austin to go to the airport. She says, let's pray for our trip. And I just pray. I said, Lord, give us favor. Open doors of opportunity for us to share the gospel everywhere we go. May we fill up our buckets so that wherever we go, we can leak out. We're all about leaky buckets. And so So we just had favor all the way. We get up to Dallas. We run over to Target. You always go to a Target when you go to a new town, right? Because you always forget something. So we go into Target. We walk in. We're in our gym clothes because we worked out that morning, and we were going to the premiere the next day. And so we walk in, and it's just me and Annette, no big deal. And the store was like very, it was in Grapevine, and there was hardly anybody there, so it was really nice. We did our thing. I get up to the counter to pay. Annette's doing something else, so I'm by myself. I've got my stuff, and there's these two young men, look like high school age, and they're trying to be cool. You know what I mean? You ever been around kids and they're just strutting their stuff, right? Yeah, I mean, they got their swag on. I mean, they're just like, you know, they're just because the guy checking them out was a young guy, so they were like trying to be all cool. And I was laughing. I'm a kind of an armchair sociologist, so I'm going, wow, this is an interesting dynamic here. You know, posturing and all that. It's kind of funny. And but the kid handling them, who was checking them out, he said, at the last thing he said to him, he said, "Bless you guys," as they left. And I went, oh, code word. I love Christianese because sometimes you can catch code words with people. He said, "Bless you guys." So I walk up and I say, "Hey, how's it going?" His name tag said Toby with an I. So I said, "Hey, Toby, how you doing?" I've always practiced name tag evangelism, man. You just call people by their name at any given store, especially in the mall when everybody has a name tag. It's like, "Hey, Bill, how's it going?" There's like, "What? Hey," you know, I mean, it shocks people, and then it can start a conversation. So I said, "Hey, Toby, how you doing, buddy?" He goes, "Man, I'm doing great." And he was in a good mood, and I thought, "Well, this is not normal." He goes, "Hey, sir, can I ask you a question? I mean, it's kind of odd, but nobody behind me." And I said, "Sure." He goes, "Are you a financier?" I said, "What?" I mean, I did not see that coming. I'm in gym clothes, first of all. He goes, "Yeah, what we do when it's slow." He said, "Me and my associates, we try to guess what people do when they come through the door." He said, so me and my associate, I don't know who he was talking about, they weren't around, but he said, he's got to be in banking or finances or something. I said, "Was it the glasses? I mean, what is it?" You know, he goes, "Yeah, it was your glasses." Oh, okay, all right. I thought the gym clothes were a giveaway. But anyway, I said to him, I said, "No, I said, I'm a pastor, and I got to tell you, I love my job. I love what I get to do." I mean, it just took him back because I was like, "Man, thank you for asking, you know. Even though you were wrong, it opened a door." And I said, "I'm a pastor, and I love what I get to do." I said, "You know what I say every day when I get up? I say, we get to do this." And he was just like, he goes, "That's awesome. I mean, dude, that's awesome." You know, he was really excited about it. And then he says, while he's starting to check me out, he says, "Yeah, I've been trying to get closer to God." Man, don't you love it when somebody says that to you? What that is, that's a greased runway. That's the Lord saying, "I am teeing this up for you. Now pick up your driver and swing." I mean, it's like he's saying, "I'm putting this young man in your path today for a reason." What that was an answer. I connected the dot to our prayer in the car on the way to Austin. "Lord, give us opportunities to share the good news." And this kid just opened himself up. And then he just gave me a very short version of most of his life. I mean, it was amazing how he did. Kind of like Pastor Brian doing announcements. He got more content in 30 seconds than, I mean, it was amazing. Brian's the king of it. And this kid was really competing with you on that. Did really good. And I knew all about him immediately. And I just said, "Let me say something." And I said, "I know coming from a pastor, this will sound weird." Because here's what he said. He said, "The only problem is I can't go to church anymore because when you work for Target, you have to give up your weekends. And there's no, you can't set your hours." And he goes to school, he's in college. And I said, "You know," I said, coming from a pastor is going to sound strange, but let me tell you something. You don't have to go to church to get closer to God. I said, you can get closer to God right now, right here. I said, you can pray for people as they're coming through the line. I said, that mom that came through the line with three screaming kids and you're feeling sorry for her, or you're hoping she'll hurry, I said, you can pray for her under your breath. You don't have to say it out loud. Just pray for her. He was locked in. He was listening intently. I knew the Holy Spirit was doing something there. He is a believer, so I didn't try to lead him to Jesus. I just tried to help disciple him a little bit and let him know that he could practice the presence of God right there in that moment. He was so jacked. And then Annette walks up and she's jumped in the conversation. And then we double team him after that. He had no choice. He had no chance because she was excited. And I'm telling you, the whole trip was that way. Why? Because we have to be carriers of the good news of Jesus Christ. This is our mission. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. But literally it says in the actual language, in Greek, it says, as you are going, disciple nations. That's what it literally says. As you are going. In other words, we think we have to go on a mission trip or show up at an event to be evangelistic. But at the end of the day, you're called to be evangelistic as you go. And that doesn't mean on Sunday. That means every day. That means Monday. In fact, that was a Monday, wasn't it? It was Monday. I didn't like clock in and put my Pastor Jimmy hat on. Oh, I just got back from the gym. I'm sweaty, but Scott want to talk about Jesus. All right, hold on a minute. Let me change my... No. You just go. You just step into what you're invited to do. The kid asked the question, and I simply gave him some answers that helped him. And then afterwards, we walked out, and we were like, whoa, that was such a God moment, such a God tap. The entire week was like that. We met people. I met a guy named Froda from Finland. Who knew, right? Froda. And he walks up to me at one of the VIP dinners, and he says, I know who you are. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I do too, you know. He through the carnivore world and YouTube, and he had seen me on a podcast with another carnivore guy. And he goes, I know who you are. And he said, I know you're in the movie, which we hadn't seen yet. And I said, yeah. I said, it's a real blessing for us to get to do that. And he says, it's kind of weird. He said, why is it that everybody in this carnivore thing are all Christians? I said, well, my thought is everybody who's doing this just wants to help somebody feel better and get better and get well. I said, so the health and wellness space draws a lot of Christians because we're trying to help people. I said, we're not selling anything. This isn't an MLM. We have nothing to sell. We just want you to feel better. We want you to steward your body for the glory of God. And he said, yeah. He goes, well, I believe there's probably a God. You know, I mean, he just started the conversation. He goes, because I think it's evil that's caused us to not be healthy. And I said, you go with that. Because if there's real evil, there's got to be real good. Because that's it. I mean, if there is real evil in this world, there has to be the counter. There has to be, or this thing would have already blown up. No, there's real good. So I got to share the gospel with him, and he came, got to hear us talk more about Jesus in the movie later that night. After each of the movies, we did another meetup. So we were there till 11:30 talking to people, praying with people. It was amazing. Because they introduced us as Pastor Jimmy and Annette, people were coming to us, not just to talk about carnivore, but to share where they were in their faith. Just one more story. Sarah, 6 feet tall, red hair. She may even be watching because we told her about it, and she wants to come over here and attend church. She's from Austin, and she walks up, and she begins to talk to us and basically tells us that she believes in little g God, but she doesn't really understand big G God. So she knows there's a higher power, but she hasn't made that step. And so we got to just pause and just share our heart with her and share about the goodness of God. And she said, I didn't come here expecting this, but I'm finding that watching the movie and hearing your testimony and then being with all of you in this community, because it really is a community, she said, I'm drawn to this. And Annette and I said, that's God. That's God drawing you to this, not to the carnivore eating, but to Jesus, but to the gospel, to the good news. And she said, yeah, really, I want to go to church. Do you know where I could go? I mean, is there any? And I said, well, we'll find out. So we got her number. I mean, every conversation came back to Jesus. And then I asked her, and we were in a movie theater out in the lobby, people everywhere. And I said, Sarah, would you mind if I prayed with you? And I could tell her reticence. I said, I won't embarrass you. She said, okay. And I prayed with her. I said, Lord, would you reveal yourself to Sarah? She wants to know you're real. Will you reveal yourself to her in amazing, spectacular, miraculous ways? Would you do that as a favor to me? And after we prayed, she bowed her head with us, and she was blown away because we didn't say, we'll pray for you, and then walk off. All I'm saying, the reason I want to tell you that is that this idea of what it means to be reborn, it means that we who are reborn I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I have a feeling it's a lot of folks in here. So I'm going to assume that. Not everyone, but a lot. But if we are followers of Jesus and we're on Team Jesus, we said yes, then we have a mission assignment, and that is to go out, and as we go, we are to share the gospel with others. Now here, let me help you with something. I've got really good news for you today. When you do that, you are not on your own. We have a helper. His name is the Holy Spirit. Jesus in the book of John said, I'm going to give this guy to you. I'm going to go away, but he's going to come to you, and he's going to be in you, and he's going to live through you, and you will not be on your own. He is a helper. He's a counselor. He's a comforter. He's a friend. He's an intercessor and an advocate for you, and he will enable you and empower you to do what you cannot do in yourself. That is the person of the Holy Spirit. So when we step out into this adventure and we say, Lord, would you open doors for me to share the gospel, the good news, to share Jesus with somebody? And listen, let me just say something to help you with this. A lot of times when we talk about witnessing and sharing our faith, we have in our mindset, I have to know everything. No, you need to know one thing. And the one thing you need to know is not a thing, it's a who. You need to know Jesus. If you know Jesus, you're light years ahead of anybody you're sharing your faith with who doesn't. There's no excuse. You can throw that out the window. Check that off the box. You do not have to have a degree in theology. You do not have to have a master's of divinity. You do not have to be a theologian, an accredited theologian, or a Bible scholar to say this, I used to be here, and now I'm here. Now, I want to go into our word today. We talked about last week that religion can't do what rebirth can, right? Religion is rules and regulations. And it's interesting how through the years, the early Jewish scholars, as they came up, we had, you know, the Levitical laws that were given in the Old Testament, the law, capital L. And what happened was men came along and they took the laws and then they added more laws upon those laws that were not even God's laws. They were man's laws, but they treated them like God's laws. And that is how, in a negative sense, religion was born, where it's about ritual. It's about doing the right thing. It's about not feeding your goat on Sunday or rescuing your lamb that fell in a well. I mean, all these silly things that were put on people that no one could live up to. That's religion. But we do it today too. I've been in church where I've been told you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, and you can't, and don't even think about that. I mean, I've been there, done that, and sat there and just felt like, I feel guilty for breathing right now. I'm sorry I'm alive, that I have a pulse. I mean, because I'm guilty as charged. I mean, listen, faith and walking with Jesus and authentic Christianity is actually what you do. It's what you get to do. It's what's possible. There's no lids or limits on our life, and we get to go out and we get to leak out this life that's in us, but you are not alone. You have a helper and a friend. So we talked about Jesus meeting with Nicodemus. You remember that? And we told the story out of scriptures in John chapter 3 where Nicodemus wants to talk to Jesus. So he sneaks around. I mean, he's like parking in the back of the church like some people do, you know, when they're going to come talk to somebody. Where'd you park? I'm in the back. Why? Oh, okay, I get it. All right, now I understand. No problem. So he didn't want to be seen, so he meets up with Jesus. I love the way The Chosen portrays it, and we showed a clip from that. We have another clip from The Chosen today, but it's a different story. He met with Jesus, and this is where Jesus told him straight up. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus goes, what? How can a man enter his mother's womb a second time and be born again? He has a fit because he can't wrap his mind around it. And then Jesus clarifies, this is not about being saved from your sin. This is about spiritual rebirth. And Jesus says, you must be born again. That's where we pick up the story. And remember the point last week was religion can't do what rebirth can. And at the very end of that, we ended with this. John 3:3, if you can get to that. I'm jumping around. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. And then in John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know what that is? That means he's not a way, a truth, or a life. And people today would try to convince you, oh, there's many ways to get to God. No, there's not. Jesus said, you have to come through me because I am the way. And you know what he meant there? That he's the only way. So is this exclusive? Not intentionally. It's a narrow gate. It's a narrow gate we have to go through. Now, the second point, and this is where we're starting today. I'm turning a three-point sermon into three parts because it's too much, and I don't want to lightly treat this. So the second point is this. The Holy Spirit produces what you cannot. This is such good news, family. In other words, where we run out of steam and when we get to the end of ourselves, that's actually the best place you can be. Because it's at that point the Holy Spirit says, I got you. I got this. You get in a conversation and you feel like somebody knows their atheism better than you know your theism, better than you know your own faith. No worries. The Holy Spirit is there with you. And you may fumble and stumble and think, man, that did not land. What I just said did not land. And yet God in his way, you draw the bow, you let go of the arrow, and God moves the target and gets it exactly where it needs to be. That's the Holy Spirit coming along to help you. He produces what you cannot. John 3, 8. Now we're going to pick up the story. Again, Jesus is still with Nicodemus. Says he's telling Nicodemus, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In other words, Nicodemus, you're thinking way too hard. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to know something that may not be knowable. There's something that we know in our spirit, but we may not know it in our rational mind. And this is where people hit a choke point. And he's telling this very smart, high-level leader who was a part of the Sanhedrin, the 70, who governed both religiously and civically Jerusalem. He's telling him, you're not as smart as you think you are. You're thinking too much. Verse 9. What does Nicodemus say? Of course, how can this be? Nicodemus said. And then he says this. This is kind of funny. Jesus had a little sense of humor. He says, you are Israel's teacher, and do you not understand these things? Do you remember what Jesus later said in another gospel? He said, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you have to become like a child. He's saying, you're too smart for your own good. You're a teacher of Israel, and you don't even see it? You can't even get it? Verse 11, I tell you the truth, this is Jesus. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people, boy, this is an indictment, you people do not accept our testimony. He's saying, we're telling you what we have experienced, and you will not accept our testimony. He says this, verse 12, I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? He says, you can't even get the natural thing I'm talking about. How in the world, if I go in deep, into the deep end, you're not even going to get it at all. No one, verse 13, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Jesus right now is beginning to reveal himself as the Son of Man, who has been with the Father. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. What was he talking about there? Anybody have an idea? Visual. Cross. The cross. So just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. He's laying it out for him. He's already given him a look into the future of his own death, and it's going to come through a cross. He's going to die on a cross, and he's setting it up. So the new birth is a work of the Holy Spirit. When those people, and some of you may be here who raised your hand last week and said, I've not been taught like this. I didn't understand. I need to make a decision. I need to speak with my mouth. I need to declare with my mouth, believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord because I want to be saved. And you did it. That was not just you making a decision. That was the Holy Spirit helping you make a decision. He's clearing a path for you to hear the gospel. And guess what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Well, we say the word of God, but that literally, in that, it's a little bit of a misnomer in the translation. It literally means by the message of Christ. That's what it means. When we preach the gospel, a clear gospel message like last Sunday, something rises up in you. You know what that is? Faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the gospel, the message of Christ. That's why faith comes. That's why you could be saved 30 years and somebody preaches a gospel message and something still flutters. Something, you get stirred up. Can I get an amen? It happens because, it's not just because you're an old Southern Baptist and I'm sounding like one today. I mean, it's not just a nostalgic thing. It's the Holy Spirit. Faith comes when you hear the message of Christ. Man, I can't hear the gospel enough. Every time I hear a gospel presentation, I'm like, yeah, I'm in. But if I wasn't, I'd be up there at the front getting in. I'm already on Team Jesus. Don't you want to be? You hear that gospel message, you say, yeah, that's what I want. I want to live a life on mission and a life on purpose. Amen. Come on, somebody. All right, so I want to show this to you. I set this up last week, and I told the story that Nicodemus, what shook him up was he ran into Mary, and Mary was possessed with seven demons. And there's this big showdown in The Chosen where he goes in and tries to cast the demons out of him, and the demons laugh at him and say, you have no power here. Whoa, hello. That's when I'd have made an imprint in the wall that looks like me. I would have gone right through. It would be a Jimmy-shaped hole in the wall, man, because I'm not going to stay there. So I want you to watch this video. It's a short, but it's that scene where Nicodemus and Mary come together in the marketplace.
He performs miracles and seeks no credit? What does he look like? Is he a member of Sanhedrin? Would you at least know him if you saw him again?
I don't know why I am sharing this with you. I don't understand it myself. But here is what I can tell you. I was one way, and now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him.
Man, it gets me. Gets me every time. I was one way, and now I'm different. And what was in between was him. And I love what she said. She said, I don't understand it, but here's what I can tell you. This is what it means to share the gospel. We think sharing the gospel is we got to have all our points figured out. We got to have all of our arguments figured out. Because you go online, you see people debunking Christianity, or you see an atheist trying to debate and debunk, or you see somebody who's deconstructing their faith, and that's been a popular thing among a generation. But at the end of the day, you don't need to know anything but him. That's where you start. The moment you start sharing your faith with somebody who doesn't know Jesus, I said it a minute ago, you are light years ahead of them. You're already on down the path. You're down the road. You already know more than they do. They can throw up their reasons. Listen, all of us can come up with arguments of why this isn't true. I can't really see. I can't really feel. I don't really hear. Is it even real? I pray and I don't feel like it's going anywhere. You know, there's no feedback loop in prayer like there is on the internet where you say something, you get comments. It's not like that when prayer. When you pray, you trust, you believe, you have faith, and then you give God thanks that you believe you receive what you prayed for. That's how that works. But there's no feedback loop. And I don't know about you, but God does not always instantly answer my prayers. Am I the only human in the room who's noticed that? So this is where I have to trust by faith, and it's the same way when you come to faith in him. It's the same way when you share your faith about him to others. And you can say what Mary said, I don't really know, I don't understand, but here's what I can tell you. That's all you need to know. Here's what I can tell you. I used to be this way, and now I'm this way, and what happened in between was him. How easy is that, folks? Come on. We can do that. And if they start trying to say, well, what about who created God? I mean, in the beginning, God, who created? Listen, you just have to say, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know. And I don't need to. See, faith, the essence of faith is trust. And the essence of trust is this idea that I will put my weight on something. I will step out into it, trusting it will support me. And that's what trust and belief and faith means. It means to rely upon. It means to believe in. And it means to put your full weight into something. I can know about a chair, but that doesn't mean I have faith in that chair. I don't have faith in that chair until I go over and sit on it, believing it's going to support my weight. And that's what it means. The scripture talks to me, says you must believe in Christ, believe in Jesus. The word in is a primary preposition, and I love the Bible's primary prepositions. I was horrible in grammar in college. Obviously, I'm from West Texas. But I'm telling you, I love biblical grammar. And that primary preposition doesn't just mean in. I mean, I can believe in something just by seeing it, but it literally means into. That means you put the full and whole of your weight into it. So when I believe in Jesus, I'm believing into Jesus. I'm coming into Christ, not just believing in him. You can believe in the Easter Bunny, but you believe into Jesus. Does that make sense? There's more weight on that. There's more gravity there. That means I'm putting the whole of who I am onto him and trusting that he's got me. And when I made that decision at 18 years of age, my life so changed. It's so flipped that anybody who knew me then who knows me now says, you are not the same human being. Amen. And I say, praise God, you're right. Because I've been reborn. And if you look just like you did before you were saved 20 years later, something didn't take. And maybe you didn't actually believe into him, but you believe things about him. And that is from a distance, and that will not get it. And would you risk your eternity to believe in or about somebody as opposed to placing the full of your weight onto them? Would you risk your eternity for that? Would you say, hey, you know, it's all right, man. Me and Jesus got a good thing going on in the deer blind on Sunday morning. I'm preaching to the choir here. You're here. But listen, is that how you would live? Just say, that's no big deal. It's no big deal. Church is no big deal. They'll get along fine without me. Do you understand? Again, preaching to the choir. You're here. But I got to say it. This is the bride of Christ. When you put your weight of your life onto Jesus, you are united with him. But guess what? That gets you the bride too. And when people think they need to come to church to get to Jesus, that's backwards. We come to Jesus and we get the bride with that. Amen. Get it in the right order. That's why I get nervous when people say, yes, church is amazing. This is the best thing since sliced bread. Best thing since I got to tie my tennis shoes the first time. This is amazing. Life is better. But I'm like, do you know Jesus? Because if your hope is in the church and that somehow gets you in the door, that the church, we are people who will fail you. I'll make you that promise. Tithe back guarantee. I will fail you. Because I'm a dude, I'm a human, I'm a guy. I'll make a mistake. And half the time, it's not even on purpose. We just do things and life happens and we get offended. But let me tell you, when you put the whole of your trust in Jesus, then you can enjoy the bride, the community that you have in the church. You can enjoy it, but that's not your primary purpose. It's him. It's him. Let's get it in the right order. Amen, family? Listen to this out of Titus 3:4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. What? Kindness and love. When it came, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Someone say his mercy. Man, people are all about his grace, but I'm telling you, I'm all about his mercy. Mercy means I don't get what I deserve. Grace means I get what I didn't deserve. That's good. That's a good side. But mercy means I'm not getting the punishment that I should have because he took it on himself. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. There it is. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't earn it. I got a list here. You can't manufacture it. You can't buy it. You can't get it by being good or doing good deeds. You can't obtain it because your parents were born again. You receive it as a gift by faith. You say, Lord, I may not understand everything. I may not know how all of this works, but by faith, I receive the free gift of eternal life. I place my life upon you. I want to believe into Jesus, not just believe into Jesus. I put the whole of my weight into this, and I give you my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. Take my life and use me for your honor and your glory. And I'll live the rest of my life getting to know you a little bit better every day. Romans 10:8. This is interesting that Brian read this. He didn't know I was going here. But what does it say? The word is near you. What is the word? The word is the message. It's easy to us today to say, oh, the Bible is near you. It's not what that says at all. It's the message of the gospel. It's the message of Jesus. So listen to this. When Paul's teaching this, he's saying the message of Christ is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, the message of faith. You need to think of that and realize, because we get that confused with this. It's not. We are proclaiming, verse 9. Here's what Pastor Brian read. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, believe into, that's their primary preposition right there, believe into your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
Saved from what? Let's start with hell. You're saved from hell. That's a good start, amen? Hey, he could have stopped it right there and that would have been enough. But you're also saved from sin and the sin that you've committed, the sin you will commit, so that you can live free. That's the whole point. That we don't have to walk around with this backpack full of lead, the weight of our sin, the weight of our mistakes, the weight of our poor choices, the weight of our ignorance or the weight of our disdain. We literally can lift that off, and Jesus took it on himself on the cross. Done. Tetelestai. I had it put in ink on my arm so I would remember it every day of my life. It means it is finished in Greek. That's good news, family. So he says this, you will be saved, verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So there it is, you believe here and then you declare it here. Does that make sense? You confess it. And then he says this, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. He's saying, the Jew has to come to Jesus the same way the Gentile does, and the Gentile has to come to Jesus the same way the Jew does. There's no difference. He's making the ground level. It's all of the book of Romans, basically. And he says this, the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. So we have to call upon him. That's with the mouth we confess. Verse 13, for everyone. Someone say everyone.
Everyone.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you are an everyone. Everyone, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. From what? From hell, from sin, from yourself, praise God. Amen? From our flesh. So just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent, Jesus would be lifted up on the cross so anyone who believes can receive eternal life. Religion says do more. Jesus says believe in what I've already done. So you don't have to be out there going on. And I hear this a lot from some of the people here that I love so much. I'm just not doing enough. I'm just not doing enough. You feel like you never measure up. That is not the Spirit of God. That is the flesh talking. Or it could be demonic interference. So I want to show this clip because Josh Howerton tells this amazing, beautiful story. I used a clip from him last week. This was when he was on Sean Ryan. It's a three-hour interview, and I just say, go watch it. Josh Howerton, Sean Ryan, 3 hours. It was 3 hours well spent. I heard y'all did too. I mean, once you start, you can't turn it off. It is a master class in sharing the gospel in a very casual but real and practical way. So I want you to check this out. This is a story that Josh tells to Sean Ryan.
Why did Jesus have to die on the cross?
Yeah.
Why did he have to do it? I don't fully understand why it had to happen. if he is God,
why couldn't he just forgive?
Exactly.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. My favorite way to illustrate this is by a story. It's the best illustration of why Jesus had died on the cross I've ever heard. All right. It goes like this. Once upon a time, in a far off kingdom, there was a king who was known by everyone in the kingdom to be the most just and loving king who had ever lived. But then it was discovered that somebody was stealing from the king's treasury. And so the king, being a just king, he sent out an edict that whenever it was discovered who was stealing from the king's treasury, that person would receive 10 lashes. Well, the theft continued, and so he issued another decree. When it's discovered who's stealing from the king's treasury, it'll be 20 lashes. The theft continued, 30 lashes. Until finally, the king issued a final decree, and he said, when it's discovered who's stealing from the king's treasury, it will be a sentence of 40 lashes. Now, the problem with that was that 40 lashes was a death sentence. And so the theft continued until eventually it was discovered that none other than the king's daughter was the one who was stealing from the treasury. So then a question began to ripple through the kingdom. What would the king do? Some thought he would forgive her, but then how would he be just? Some thought that he would issue the sentence, but then how would he be loving? The king sat down and decided, you know what? The sentence is just, the punishment must fall, and so the decree stands. And so one day the entire kingdom was gathered, and in front of everybody, the king's own daughter was marched up to the podium in front of the entire kingdom. And she was bent over the podium, and the back of her shirt was ripped open. And the executioner stood there, and he began to raise his whip to land the first slash. And as soon as he did, the king yelled, "Stop!" And there was a silence that fell. And the king strode forward, and he took off his own shirt, and he bent over, and he wrapped his body around his own daughter, and looked back up over his shoulder, and he said, "Now hit her." And the executioner objected, and he said, "But king, those lashes, they'll fall on you." And he said, "The sentence must stand. It's just, hit her." And so 40 lashes fell on the body of the king that protected the body of his daughter, and the king died in the stead of his daughter. And what happened, Sean, in that story, is the king was both just because payment for the sin had to be made, and the king was the justifier of the ungodly. She went free because he took the penalty. See, the reason Jesus had to die on the cross is because God is just, and so payment for sin has to be made. Like, if somebody walked into a courtroom and a judge just went, "You know what, man? You raped that girl when she was young, but you're real sorry, and I have the power to do it. You're forgiven." Nobody would think that was a just judge. So penalty for sin had to be made, but God is love, so he made the payment himself.
Yeah, wow, I totally agree. This is what Jesus did for us, family. He took the whip, he took the lashes, then he was crucified on a cross for us. This is why we have to say, if Jesus is willing to die for me, the least I can do is live for him. The least I can do is say, "Thank you that you did that for me." So I'm going to quit being worried about what someone thinks about me if I tell them I'm a follower of Jesus unashamedly. I will not be ashamed of the gospel because of what Jesus did for me. He took the lashes. He took the cross. He paid the penalty that I owed. That was on me. My sin put him there. Your sin put him there. And if he's willing to die for me, the least I can do is live for him. For his honor, for his glory, to share his good news, to do exactly what he told me to do, that as I'm going, not just in a pulpit on Sunday, this is easy, y'all. I'm talking about out there where we live, work, and play. What was so fun about this last week is we were outside the box. We were in a movie theater. We were in two movie theaters. We were in stores. We were in restaurants. And we were talking about Jesus nonstop. Why? Because I understand this. I know what he did for me. And I don't know where I would be had that not have happened. But like Mary, I was this way, and now I'm this way. And in between was him. And had it not have been for him, I would not be here. And family, you need to be honest with yourself. If it had not been for Jesus, where would you be today? Well, I know some of you older folks, you're wild. You're part of the Grateful Dead. You're deadheads. I mean, you You can tell me stories. It used to be the old people in church were the mean curmudgeons who didn't want to hear it. You guys are like, Pastor Jimmy, I couldn't even hear your solo. Play louder. Play more solos. I mean, listen, we got the Woodstock generation here. Amen. I never thought I'd see that day as a young pastor, you know, because it was all somebody shaking a King James Version Bible telling me that guitar's of the devil. I mean, I had that stuff happen. And nowadays, you're telling me to play louder. I mean, it's crazy. And it's not just because you can't hear. It's because you want to hear. I mean, you're like, come on, bring it, you know. It's so funny. I'm trying to lay back, and you're all like, oh, come on, solo. It's so funny. But this generation, listen, this is what we, I don't care how old or young you are, our responsibility before God is to live for Him and to put the whole of our weight into Him, not just believe in Him, but to believe into Him. And that, and you may not know, it's a bit ambiguous. I'm not sure exactly what you mean. Let me tell you what I mean. I mean by getting in your Bible and reading that Bible every day. There's so many helps out there for that. YouVersion Bible, my gosh, billions of devotional. There's so many ways to do it. You can read mine every day on social media, The Daily Grind, where I'm just sharing these principles every day. And now I'm actually giving you today, do this and pray this. I'm giving you what to do. Take advantage of what's out there to begin to grow. But one of the best things you can do is simply ask Him, Lord, is there more that You would have me do? Are there assignments that I've ignored or don't see because I haven't heard, but maybe I didn't hear because I was distracted or didn't understand? Maybe I've not put the full of my weight. So if that's true, help me, show me. And I'll pray the same prayer for you that we prayed for Sarah from Austin. And it would be, Lord, reveal Yourself to her. Show her. Reveal who You are. Show her who You are. I'm not afraid to pray that prayer for anybody. But today, just remember, you were that daughter who was caught stealing. And Jesus Himself came around you and took the punishment for you. If you're already a believer, this may be a good day to re-up. If you're not, this is a good day to be reborn. So I want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Yes, I'm going Southern Baptist on you. I'm going to my roots because I'm so thankful that a Southern Baptist youth minister who was relentless in sharing the gospel with me would not give up on me. I will not give up on you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, if every head bowed and every eye closed right here, Lord, I'm asking for a favor. Would You touch the hearts deep in the recesses of their lives and their hearts and show them the next step for their life? Father, if they're a believer but they've been nominal with it or they've not been on mission, Father, reveal to them Your mission for them. Or maybe they had it at one time and it's just sort of waned and died from misuse. It's just atrophied because not any use. Lord, would You show them, remind them of the dreams that You gave them. And may they take this moment to re-up for Your glory, for Your honor, to get back on mission. Maybe somebody's here and they've not been reborn and this is their day. I don't want to assume anything in here, so with every head bowed, every eye closed, but me, I'm going to look around. If you're here today and you know you're not saved, you know you need to be reborn, you need to believe into Jesus, not just believe in Jesus. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up so I can see it, who I'm talking to? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. And put your hands down. Thank you. Several. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. I'm going to have Pastor Brian come up and close in just a minute. He's going to pray with you on that. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not ready to re-up. I'm like, I got to get back on mission. I want to talk to a guy at Target about Jesus. I want to talk to people in a restaurant or a movie theater or wherever I'm. I want to live with that level of passion. If that's you, would you raise your hand just so I can see you? I'm re-upping today. I'm re-upping. Amen. Thank you. Hands everywhere. You can put them down. Thank you. I'm not even mindful of who's doing that. That's just your decision before God to say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to get on mission. So I'm going to have Pastor Brian, if you would, he's going to close us in prayer. He's going to lead you through a prayer on both of that, rebirth and re-upping. And so God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.
Let's keep our heads bowed. We're going to pray right now. A prayer isn't what saves you or causes you to be born again. But this is a prompt that's meant to give you an on-ramp, an opportunity with your voice to confess what your heart is crying out for right now. So I'm going to pray this. And if your heart's crying out, then you can just, with your mouth, under your breath, just pray along with me as we go here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we confess we need you. God, I can't save myself. Jesus, you are the only one who can save me. So Jesus, I put the full weight of my life, myself, everything that I am, into and onto you by faith right now, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I invite you and ask you, would you please come live on the inside of me, fill me and baptize me in all that you are. Jesus, I confess and renounce all of my sin. Everything that separates me from the Father, I reject it, I renounce it, I lay it at the foot of the cross by faith right now. I ask that you would heal, cleanse, and remove it by the finished work of the cross. And Lord Jesus, I pray that starting today, you wouldn't just be my Savior, you would be my Lord, my Master, and that I would be your son or daughter. And God, that I would, by your grace, follow you for the rest of my life, every single day. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you caused me to be born again. I'm new on the inside because of you. I'll never be the same because of the miracle working power of the cross alive in me. I receive it right now by faith. And God, I pray, Lord, for every person here who has known you but who's walked away, who's drifted, God, we come back, and we come back all the way right now by faith. We run to you, God. We need you. We cling to you. Lord, revive our hearts and our spirits that we might know you and walk with you. Lord, I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen.